So we all have our favorite Christmas story in the midst of the Christmas story. We all have our favorite traditions. We all have our favorite Christmas movies that we like to watch, and I hope you've been catching up on them. One of them, I want to bring to your attention that maybe you wouldn't consider in your library, which is Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky, there we go. Ricky is a fantastic theologian, and as he was praying one day, he lets us know about who he exactly prays to. And of course, he prays to little baby Jesus, who's cute and cuddly, and it's great and natural for him. But for everyone else, it's a little odd, you know, that you would pray to a baby. So whether you pray to baby Jesus or grown-up Jesus or somewhere in between, I think we can all understand that sometimes Jesus does not meet our expectations. Right, we may have this picture, whether it came from our own understanding or maybe it was someone passed it down to us. We may kind of have a picture in our mind. If I say, what does Jesus look like? You might have an instant image. And it may be the one that you do or do not necessarily agree with. But for whatever reason, that's the one that's been planted in our imaginations. And sometimes that might be the Jesus that we expect to show up and to arrive on Christmas. And what happens when Jesus doesn't meet that expectation? We might say sort of like, what's the other guy's name? So his friend says, you know, well, I like to picture Jesus, you know, with a giant eagle on the back. And he's got a tuxedo t-shirt because sometimes Jesus is formal, but he's also like, I'm here to party. We may have a little bit more sophisticated way of explaining Jesus, but the reality is we kind of have this own image of what it should be. And so we like to think of Jesus like this. So much so that when Jesus shows up, we might feel kind of disappointed because Jesus doesn't measure up to the expectation that we have. And on the reverse side, we might feel as though we have failed our own imagination and expectation for what the perfect Christmas is supposed to be and how we are supposed to be able to pull it off. We get ready, we prepare things, we hang up decorations, maybe even months in advance, we sign up and commit to all these great things that when it becomes December, it's going to be magical, it's going to be wonderful, we're going to have all of this stuff to come to. And then December actually gets here, and we look at that December calendar, and we feel overwhelmed, and we feel exhausted, and we think, oh my gosh, one more thing. And it's exhausting. It no longer seems perfect. It just seems like a big mess. And it seems like it's blocking us from whatever it is that we thought all of this stuff was going to be able to provide and to give us. Last Sunday at 9:30, you might remember all of these presents that are all around, they were up on the altar table. And I was standing up here, I was giving the announcements, and at 9:30 you go straight from the announcements into the lighting of the candles. And so we had a big family, there was about four or five of them down here by the wreath. And as I was making my way down, they had already gotten started. So they were reading the story, they were reading the liturgy, it was all nice and traditional and formal. But I am freaking out because I don't know how they're going to be able to light the candle because all I see is one of the readers holding an empty candle. And Jeremy's standing up there with the band looking all very prestigious and presentatory. And I'm freaking out and I'm saying to Jeremy, where's the light? Jeremy, where's the light? Where is that light? How are they going to be able to light the candle? And I know he can't hear what I'm saying because he's trying to be, you know, proper and presentational and not let everybody know that something is happening that should not be happening. And I say to Jeremy, how is he going to light the candle? His own candle's not lit. So this candle that's sitting there and was lit, I couldn't see it because all of these presents were stacked all up here, and the bows were so big and so tall that I couldn't see the light of Christ. And so I'm freaking out because it's not happening the way it's supposed to be happening. And everybody else is going as though everything is totally fine. And I'm like, what's wrong with you people? The light is not lit. He had no idea what I was talking about. I couldn't see the light of Christ because there was all of this stuff just blocking it from my view. And I didn't have enough faith to think, you know, it's fine. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean that nobody else can't. But I wasn't in the spirit. Christmas Vacation, I hope, is one of the traditional stories that is a part of your Christmas experience as it is mine. And you know, what's really interesting is when you watch these movies as a kid, and then you start watching them as an adult. I mean, the whole view shifts. And it's been a while since I've actually had the time, I've made myself the time to watch this. And so it's really interesting just looking at Clark's experience. Again, with all of these expectations that he has built up in his mind about what the perfect family Christmas is going to be. And one after another just fail. They are destroyed. And so with that is his expectation of perfection until finally he just snaps because it's not going the way that it's supposed to. It's not going right. And he feels as though everyone's depending on him to pull off the perfect Christmas. And then he just loses it. And he loses it with the very people that he's trying to make this perfect Christmas for. And he feels like a failure. So just a few seconds ago, what I was thinking to myself as Ron was painting is that's exactly what I feel like when I try so hard to make something perfect and it doesn't go right and I just want to explode. And at the beginning, it was really cool because he was putting on all of these Advent colors and I thought, oh, this is going to be a nice Advent picture. And it's just like someone vomited all over it. But that's Chris. You're welcome. But that's Christmas, right? We feel as though it has to be perfect and it has to be the right colors and everything has to be in its own proper place and position in order for it to be valuable and worth anything. And something doesn't happen the way that we think it's going to do, or someone arrives late, or we arrive late, or we've forgotten something, and we just want to be like, you know what? Forget it. I have failed Christmas. We might think to ourselves, you know, if I do it right this time, if I just do enough, if I work enough, if I make enough, if I have enough, if I give enough, then I will finally feel enough. I will finally be enough. And so as we are hearing the Christmas story again being read with the lighting of the candle, I know, like many, myself included, that when we hear the Christmas story, we might just sort of gloss over it or tune out because we might think to ourselves, you know, I've heard this story a million times. I know every single word. I know what's coming up. I don't really need to pay attention. Or maybe that's just me. But it's important for us to hear the story because, again, we are not the same as we were the last time we heard this story, certainly not since last Christmas or last Advent. So again, going back to Christmas Vacation, not only do these little snafus happen, these little mistakes, these little unplanned incidents, but Clark is wanting to go even beyond this, right? He's wanting to put in that perfect family swimming pool for that post-Christmas miracle, and he's put in literally everything that he has into it. He's put in all of his money, all of his savings, and he's waiting for this Christmas bonus to come to kind of offset his finances. And one by one, all of these huge dreams and expectations come crashing down. He doesn't get his bonus, and so he's not able to get the pool for his family. And so once again, he feels like an utter failure. And again, he just explodes in front of his family. And then he goes off by himself. He goes into a little room, and it's just wrecked. And then his dad walks in. And I think this is probably John Randolph's greatest performance ever as a dad. And he walks in, and you hear the crunching of the trash and the broken shards as he enters. And he says, you know, son, I love you. We all love you. But this whole night has been a disaster. Nothing has gone right. And you yelling at us only makes things worse. And you are too good a father. You are too good a person to act like this. And we know that you're trying to pull off the perfect Christmas, but you messed it up. And I love the expression that he gives his son after he says this, because it's like Clark Jr. is a little kid who just got his heart broken. He says, it's okay. It happens. It's okay. These things happen. And we all need that. If it's not a father figure, if it's not a parental figure, if it's someone who we know, someone who we trust, who we believe has gone through a similar experience like this before and can tell us that it is, you are able to get out of it, to be able to walk in honestly in the midst of our mess and say, it's okay. It happens. Because we need to remember that it is not about what we can do, and it's also not about what we can't do. Because this is not our birthday. So I want us to hear the story again. The story of the angel visiting Mary. But instead of just hearing it as another Christmas story, I want you to hear it in a memory that you might have of a time when things didn't go right, when life was just a mess, when you tried so hard to make something perfect and it just crashed and it was just a mess and you just felt like an utter failure, like you weren't enough. Hear the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am only a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here am I. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." In the midst of our mess, God steps in and reminds us, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Why is this so important to hear? I mean, there's many reasons, but Joseph and Mary were going through a mess as well. I mean, do we honestly believe that their life was perfect? Certainly any better than ours. I mean, is that really so hard to imagine? Because this is part of what Mike Slaughter is writing throughout his book, not just this chapter, but also talking about none of this is perfect. When the angel appears, he does not say, "Greetings, perfect one." The angel says, "Greetings, favored one." And then again, when Jesus is born, the angels say to the shepherds, "And on earth, peace to those whom God favors." And then Mary asks that question, which in one way or another has always been our question, "How will this be, since I am only? How will this be, since I am only a youth? How will this be, since I am only a senior? How will this be, since I am only unemployed? Since I am only divorced? Since I just incredibly messed up my life?" And the answer is always the same. The Holy Spirit will be with you. God's presence will overshadow you, and you will have what you need to do what you have been called to do, to be who you have been called to be, because you are enough. Slaughter writes, "Even in the midst of the unexpected, the messy, and the devastating, you can still fully expect God to show up. No matter what you are struggling to overcome, God promises to show up." And Slaughter writes about this over and over again. He continues to write about this image of the sanitized Jesus and the idea that Jesus was born in this clean, up-to-code stable manger. You know, this nice little wire bassinet with a beautiful blanket and everything. And, we don't have to smell the animal dung that was in the cave or, you know, the hot moisture of the air. It was not perfect. And that's the point of the story, that Christ comes in the midst of our imperfections. Because when everything falls apart, when it breaks, when it crumbles down, when it is not perfect, Jesus shows up. Jesus shows up for us. And I know this doesn't solve the reality of all the stuff that we have to do and all of the commitments. So if there's one thing that we can come away with, it is to remember. To remember the people in our lives, the people who we love, the people who love us, the people who love you for you, including and especially God, who calls all of us favored. Christ steps in to the midst of our mess and says, it's okay. It happens. And I still love you. Remember this. Do this in remembrance of him. So like always, we do a lot of prep work, a lot of planning, trying to make sure that worship is going to be great. And some things didn't go the way that we thought they were going to go. But you know what? The light of Christ came forth. The table was offered, people were fed, and in the midst of all of the explosion of all the colors of all the designs, the Lamb still appeared. Maybe we don't need to work so hard on trying to make it happen as well as just being open to the possibility and the belief that it will happen, and we get to be a part of it. So as we go forth, whether you have those lists, you're trying to get a lot accomplished, and you may feel as though it won't all get done, or it doesn't necessarily go the way that we think, that is not your worth. Your worth is the reality that the table is always going to be open to you, as it is open to each and every one of us all of the time, whenever we are hungry. So go in that belief and go in that celebration. That the light of Christ will continue to shine, that Christ will be born in the midst of our lives, and that is good news that the world needs to continue to hear, and you have it to tell. So let us continue to go forth and share that great story. And may we go in peace. Amen.